Let's get immediately out to the Home Run In hotline, and there we find the president of the Chicago Cubs, Theo Epstein. Theo, how are you?
Great, guys. Happy opening day. Good morning.
Oh, happy opening day to you. And Tom says in the paper today, and we just talked to him about it, how it is, it's like a turning point in the history of the Chicago Cubs, and that is a direct compliment to you. Do you feel, obviously, it's opening day for you, and you've been through a lot of these, and here's your first one in Chicago. Do you feel that vibe from him? Do you feel that turning point in the history of the Cubs?
Well, I hope we look back on it as that, but it's not appropriate to characterize it as any one individual being responsible for a turning point. There are so many people working hard behind the scenes to try to create progress and move in the right direction. We're excited about what we were able to do so far over the winter and in spring training. I think Dale and the guys ran a great spring training. Our players were really open to a bit of a new direction. So, yeah, we are excited about it, and we hope we do look back at this as a turning point.
You seen the back page of the Sun-Times today, Theo?
Yeah, I almost spit up my Fruit Loops when I saw that. But
now, when your wife asks you to empty the garbage, you just take that paper and put it on the kitchen table and say, not today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad my wife's not in Chicago right now, because if she saw the paper, she definitely would have spat up, because she knows the truth. There's not a lot of walking on water going around, as far as I'm concerned.
Can you
levitate?
That?
Yeah, can you take the garbage out, just float out there?
How do you handle that? Because Theo Mania, and I keep saying, and Theo I trust as a Cubs fan, how do you handle the expectations and just the over-the-top, thank God you're here because now good things are going to come for us?
A couple different ways. One, I joke about it. I think if you take it seriously, it can really affect your sanity as a human being. Number two, seriously, you have to not really attach any meaning to it, because whenever you're getting praised or whenever expectations are heaped on you or when things are going well and you're getting a lot of attention, if you embrace that, if you let it in, then by connection, whenever things are going poorly, whenever you're getting criticism, whenever people are on you for things, then you have to attach meaning to that as well, consequently. So, if you don't want to bring yourself down by what people who you don't even know think about you when things are going poorly, and you shouldn't, then you really can't really let it in and appreciate when people are saying nice things about you. And in the end, it's really all just noise. What we have to do is focus internally what we're doing in this organization to create progress, and then as a human being, I have to focus on myself, and I know my own strengths and weaknesses. I know what I need to do to get better, and people who don't even know me saying nice things about me in the end isn't worth a heck of a lot. I got a job to do. We have a job to do collectively, and that's what we're focused on.
Cubs president Theo Epstein joining us. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. And Theo, I guess, a lot of people are looking at your team and they want to see Anthony Rizzo and they want to see Brett Jackson. Is it a good thing if we don't see them this year? Do you think it would be nice to bring them up in September? Or is that a move that will have to be made at some point here in the relatively soon position?
Well, I think there's a chance that you'll see both guys this year. But really, that decision has to be based first and foremost on their development, and I think that's the right way to develop young players. We've had some success doing that in the past by really focusing on their development first, and then the big league, and then the bigger picture second. So every player in our minor league system, including Rizzo and Jackson, have individual player development plans, basically a list of their strengths and weaknesses, and the things that they need to do to turn themselves into big league players. So as accomplished as both guys are in the minor league, there's still room for development. There are some weaknesses in their game that we've identified with them for them to work on, and that's why they're in AAA. So before we even consider a promotion for those guys, they have to finish off their individual development plans, turn the remaining weaknesses, physically, mentally, and fundamentally, into strengths. And once they do that, then they've accomplished the criteria for advancement, and we'll assess whether we have room for them on the big league roster. But it's easy to just take your young guys and rush them to the big leagues and kind of show the fans that, hey, there's a bright future and look at our prospects. But in the end, that's a losing battle. You have to really integrate these guys onto the major league roster when they're ready, and that's a thorough development process occurring at AAA every day away. So we're going to focus on their development first, and then we'll see what happens.
You trade Sean Marshall to the Reds, you get Travis Wood and a couple of prospects you hope to pan out and play for the Cubs in the future. But I was impressed, because Travis Wood did not pitch well and did not earn a job, even though this rotation looks like it would be a not necessarily an easy rotation, but a rotation he should have been able to break and break into. And you send him to Des Moines, where a lot of GMs might have said he's going to make the club just because we sent Sean Marshall to the Reds for him. Was the thinking that, you know, is this part of the accountability that you guys preach?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it reflects the fact that we're looking at the big picture. I mean, if we were focused exclusively on 2012 at the expense of the bigger picture, we probably never would have made the trade in the first place because, you know, we had Sean Marshall, one of the best left-handers in baseball, and he was signed through 2012. That trade was about the long term and the chance to get three young players who can hopefully impact us for a long time. And the fact of the matter is Travis Wood didn't pitch well in spring training. We're asking him to make a number of adjustments, and he's better served making those adjustments at AAA. And quite simply, you know, Jeff Samardzija and Chris Volstad stepped up and outpitched him in spring training. So they deserve to be in the rotation. Travis is where he should be, focusing on his development, making some of those adjustments. And when he does get locked in with the way pitching is and the amount of attrition in the game, we're sure he'll be up here and helping us at some point.
I know you've talked about parallel fronts and the ability to build a foundation for sustained success, Theo. When you look at the numbers, when you break down the numbers of the lineup you have right now, and I'm saying particularly with the corner infielders, will you get the power that you need in order to meet whatever formula that is from those positions?
Well, I think we have power in the corner infield. I mean, if you look at Ian Stewart, raw power and hopefully power frequency is one of the strengths of his game, along with defense. He's a guy who can hit the ball a long way, and pitchers have to be careful with him because of that. And then Brian LaHare has hit 35-plus home runs in the minor leagues and winter ball. He has the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark as well. I mean, both guys, they're not established major league players yet. They're not established major league impact players yet, but they have plenty of offensive capability and plenty of offensive upside. So, you know, I think there's power there. You know, maybe we don't have a ton of power up and down the lineup. Some other positions maybe lack power. But I think in the corner infield, those guys have the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
I know you sat down with Sully and Gordon and Bruce Miles and the beat guys and all the guys, and you said you talked about here the noise you have to tune out and the cacophony noise that will get to you at some point. The front office doesn't want to just disrespect fans. Everyone's going to have an opinion, but you can't really listen too much, not only to the media, but the fans. How difficult is that to do if you know this team is struggling? I think most Cup fans know there's going to be growing pains, but I think we're also pretty good with the fact that the growing pains are going to pay off in the future.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. I think it's human nature to, you know, hear what people say. It's human nature to, you know, care what people think about you. No one likes to be criticized. No one likes negative feedback. But it takes a lot of discipline to tune that out. Thankfully, I've got a lot of experience doing that, having spent 10 years in another passionate market in Boston. So I think it's actually a pretty fundamental part of having success and making good decisions as a front office. Is you have to really go in knowing that there's going to be noise, there's going to be negative feedback, there's going to be a lot of opinions, and you have to process that and create some filters for yourself so that you don't attach meaning to it, because these decisions are hard enough, right? It's a really competitive landscape. There's 30 teams out there all looking to get ahead. It's baseball. It's a game with inherent failure. At best, you can, you know, the best process, the best scouts, the best decisions, you can really only get right about 55% of the time. You know, if you do a great job, you change your chances from 50% to 55%. So if you factor in, you know, other people's opinions or, you know, expectations of the fans or media, short-term focus, you know, then all you're doing is hurting the process, and it's going to affect your ability to make good decisions. So we really want to focus on the people we have here in the organization, the processes we're building to make decisions, and recognize that ultimately the only way to make the fans and media happy in the end is by producing teams that play baseball in October and ultimately win a World Series.
I hear some people say that one of the pluses for your team is that you don't have any clubhouse divas, that there's nobody there that's going to make life uneven for people, for lack of a better term. You know, now, when you were in Boston, you know, Manny Ramirez, the former White Sox player, that was a joke. He was a guy that was kind of up and down, and Manny did it Manny's way and all that stuff. Does a team not need a diva, but does that matter? Is that a strength that you don't have any distraction, or if you have a talented enough guy, can a team sort of incorporate that?
There are a lot of different ways to skin a cat. I mean, it depends on the personality of the team, the makeup of the team. You know, when I first got to Boston, the team was maybe a little too overly serious and was, you know, sort of bothered by the small clubhouse and the media attention and some dysfunctionality that was going on and with the manager's office and the front office. So we tried to loosen things up and add a little character and some fun-loving guys to the clubhouse. That's Kevin Millar and David Ortiz. Guys with big personalities were brought in, and that helped define the personality of that team. Then, you know, reached a point where things got a little bit, we won a World Series that way, but went a little too far, and guys sort of lost the professionalism and the grind and the attention to detail that you had to have. So we brought in some guys who would sort of bring it back in the other direction, and it ebbs and flows each year. Every year's team is different. It's a collection of 25 guys. 50 guys by the end of the year will come through that clubhouse at one point or another. So it really depends. I think right now in Chicago, what we really want to focus on is guys who are prepared to work hard, guys who are prepared to take pride in the uniform, guys who will be the most prepared club, work hard enough to be very prepared for that day, be more prepared than the other club, and first and foremost, guys who care about the other 24 and support one another. I think I'm really pleased with the personality of this club. I think they do support each other, they do care about each other, and that's how you overachieve in baseball. You know, when the sum, you need the whole to be greater than the sum of the parts, and that happens when players start caring about each other.
Theo, thanks a ton for the time. We appreciate it. Just on the way out, we've seen a flurry of smaller moves, if you will, so far. Will we see the plan unfold this year? Will you begin to see, you know, you talk about being able to kind of achieve without having the top talent. Will we see that?
Well, that's the goal. I mean, we were pretty transparent about the fact that we're operating on two fronts. We're trying to maximize the competitiveness of the 2012 club, but also building for a greater future where we can create a foundation that will hopefully lead to success year in and year out. So, you know, our goal is to make the playoffs this year and ultimately win a World Series. So when it comes to the big league team, that's all that matters is wins and losses. So, yeah, we can make progress in other areas down on the farm. We can instill a winning culture and a nice attitude. We can develop young players. But in the end, with respect to the big league team, all that matters is the wins and losses. So, absolutely, the goal, all the preparation that's going into it is hopefully to manifest this year. Absolutely.
Great stuff, Theo. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Good luck, Theo.
Theo Epstein, the president of the Chicago Cubs. Great stuff from him.